one of my passions is teaching kids about missions and missionaries. And it came about back in 2002, our senior pastor decided that every January he would focus on missions and bring speakers in, organizations in. And do you guys need a handout?
Oh, yeah.
You have one? Okay, Selena, do you know where they went? Oh, can you just stay in charge of them for me? And so as he was talking about that for the adults in the main sanctuary, I thought how great it would be if we did the same thing in children's ministry. Because so often, you know, the kids are doing their lesson and then the parents have their teaching, but they don't match. So I thought, you know, if we did missions while their parents are learning about missions, then there might be a word in the car, you know, like missions or missionary or something, and that would spark a family discussion about missions. So it would be, you know, something that they could connect with. And so as I did that, just praying, I started out teaching missions just in January because they were doing it in the main sanctuary. So I just did it in January, all our morning services, evening and midweek. We focused on that, and it's kind of changed through the years, which I'll explain that to you in a minute, but that's just kind of how it got started. Do you have the quote from Lyle Dorsett on your, look on the other side, they actually printed them backwards, I'm so sorry. Yeah, do you have that on the top? I just want to read that together. This is why we teach kids about missionaries and their great adventures. One striking lesson learned from spending time with pilgrims from bygone eras is that next to disciplined daily time in prayer and the scriptures, the reading of devotional literature and biographies ranks extremely high among formative influences. Indeed, many Christians who have made significant contributions to the church testify to the profound impact of books, especially biographies, on their spiritual development. I love to read missionary biographies. The kids in our children's ministry either can't or don't have time or don't have the resources to buy the books to read about missionaries and Christian biographies. So I decided I would do that for them. And that's how I teach missions, is that I will read a book about a missionary, I'll learn about their life, and then I'll do it in storytelling format when I do it to the kids. So I'll break it down into whatever the Lord shows me about their life to share with the kids, and then I teach them through storytelling, which I did a storytelling workshop. So if you heard that, you know how I do it. If you didn't hear that, I'll give you a private lesson someday if you want. And we do this, I do this with first grade through fifth grade. Although we have kindergartners, Pastor Steph doesn't want them in there because, you know, sometimes it's graphic, you know, the things, the idol worship and things like that. And he just thinks the kindergartners are too young and can't sit through a 20-minute story. So we excuse them. I learn it and I give it to them for two reasons. It started out just because their parents were doing it. We wanted to do it with them. But the more I've been doing it now for however many years this is, my main reasons for teaching missionaries is so kids will know their spiritual heritage. I mean, I got saved when I was 21, and I didn't start even reading biographies until 2002. So, I mean, that was only, 13 years ago? So I was, in my 40s before I even knew about any of this. And I was kind of angry, actually, that I hadn't known about it sooner, because this is my heritage.
Right.
These are the people that have gone before, that have taken Christianity to the world, changed the world, which in turn changes their culture, which impacts our culture. This is my heritage. How come I didn't know about these people? And the way America is today, Christians are in the minority. You know, kids love to be part of a group. And so I wanted to help them know that they had a heritage as well, that they're part of a group. They're not just a first grade Sunday school kid or a Calvary Chapel ministry kid. They are a Christian, and their heritage goes back to when time began, basically. They can have that connection, and it makes it something more than my parents are making me go to Sunday school. Right? It's their history. It impacts them. The other reason that we do missions is so that kids will understand what God can do. If he can do some some of the things, well, all the things, but if he can do the things he did through these people, he can do the same things through them. If he can work miracles for them, he can work miracles for our kids and for us. God doesn't change, right? People still need Jesus. We still need missionaries going out in the world. They have to know what God is capable of doing, and they have to know the people who God used, how incapable they were, and yet all they did was say yes to God, and God did these mighty things through them. So I want them to know and experience those things through the missionaries so that it is alive to them. It morphed from being a whole month, which was great, but as much as I loved that, I wanted more consistency. I didn't want it to just be like once a year I got to tell missionary stories. So it's morphed over the years how we've done it. But right now we set aside the first Sunday of almost every month during the holiday seasons. I'm in charge of the Christmas place, so I can't do missionary stories. But the rest of the year, the first Sunday of every month is Mission Sunday. And rather, so when the kids come in, they have their classes, then they come in for corporate worship, then they go back to their classes. But on Mission Sundays, once they get in for worship, they stay with me the whole time. We'll do worship, and then I'll tell a story or bring a missionary in, which I'll tell you a little bit more about that as well. And I have to say, I've always loved it from the very beginning. The kids, it's part of their culture now. I mean, it's been 13 years or what is that? Yeah, 13 years, because it's 2015, right? So it's been 13 years that we've been doing it, and it is part of their culture at church. And they, when there's months that we haven't done it, either because of the Christmas play or, you know, sometimes things happen, they're asking me the next Sunday, well, when is Mission Sunday? Amen. And I love that so much. And now, just in this short time that we've been doing this, kids that grew up when I started doing missionary stories are taking missionary trips and coming back. They're teens, and coming back and sharing their missionary journey with the kids who are sitting in the same chairs that they sat in. Amen. And how encouraging is that for them, and also for the kids that are listening? Because, hello, all these people are old and dead, you know? And so I had to learn to incorporate live young people into the Mission Sundays. And you know, kids learn. They love learning from kids. They love that example. The kids love me, but I'm old. You know, tomorrow is Mission Sunday, and I have a 16-year-old coming back in to share her story. She just went to, I think it was Puerto Rico. Puerto Rico? Yeah, I think. Don't quote me, though, if you meet her. And so she's coming back to tell her story tomorrow, and she grew up in children's ministry. So when the kids hear from them, how did you know you were supposed to go? You know, and they can explain it well to them, how they knew God wanted them to go. So that's an option as well. I would suggest, even though I'm going to tell you about our heritage here, getting live missionaries in so that they don't think everyone's dead, that there are still missions trips going on today. People still go. There's a couple missions trips that our church takes that kids can go. We're going back to Mexico. We had to stop going for a while just because of the violence and all the kidnappings down there. But we are going back, and I'm going. And I have to say, even though I've been doing missions trips forever, and we used to go down yearly every 3 months, I'm really scared to go back to Mexico again just because of all the stuff that's going on there. So I'm praying. You can pray for me too, because I want to go with I don't want to be scared when I go. But the trip to Mexico, and we do a trip to American Samoa, and parents can take kids on those trips. So the last trip to Samoa, say I say with and without the accent, so don't let that throw you. Depends on how Samoan I'm feeling in the moment. Those kids, they were 8, and they came and shared about their trip. And you know what? They're doing missionary work. They're not just going with their parents, but they're doing missionary work when they go. So they come back and they share. And how inspiring is that for other kids to share? Now, we've been doing this for a while. So our ministry has had time for that turnover, but we didn't for a long time. I just did it with the missionary story. So I don't want you to think that, you know, you have to have that. We've had adults come back and share missions trips as well. The kids, I'm just proud of them, so I wanted to brag a little bit about them. But you don't need that. That will come in time as the Lord provides. So you, first of all, have to decide on what your frequency of missions is going to be. Are you going to start out doing it maybe once a year. Maybe you'll take January and do a couple missionary stories in January. You might want to do one a quarter. You might want to do one a month like we do now. It just, find out how the Lord wants you to do it, but I just want to encourage you, do it. It will change you for one thing as you read these stories and see how what obedience looks like. It will change you, it will change your kids. So just decide how you want to do it. The other thing we did is I've done passports for the kids. This gives them something tangible. And since we're traveling around the world, I decided I wanted them to be world travelers. So we started out with these. This was when we did it for the whole month. And I knew ahead of time, of course, who I was going to teach. So we made a page with every missionary's picture and the country they served and how they were born, their birth and death dates. And then we had, my husband made up flag stickers for me of the country that they served in. So when the kids came, they would go to their room, they would get their passports out, they'd get their passports stamped, and then they'd come to the sanctuary. And yeah, so this was a lot of fun, but after the first year, my husband told me I could never do it again because it was so much work. So if you have someone, yeah, it is very cool. So somebody do it again so that I can tell them. But the other thing is with our church, we have a lot of turnover. That's really what happened with these. We had so much turnover that even though there were only maybe 25 kids in the class, we'd have 60 passports that they would have to dig through every time. You know, even though the teachers tried to keep it organized, it just didn't work for us. But you notice I've hung on to it all these years because I loved it so much. Then we switched to this kind of passport where I just had the country on one side and then we just had sections with the date on it on the back. And then they could just use those markers, you know, that do the dot, and then they could stamp the thing and show that was their passport. Then this time we just went down to four for what I don't remember why this year. I don't know. We only did four, so we just made little passports like this. But I always like to give the kids something tangible for one reason, because it makes it more fun and more real to them and gets them in the spirit of travel. But the other thing is, I know that when kids take this home, it means something to them because they've with it, and they might put it in their drawer or might end up under their bed. But you know what? 3 years from now, when they clean out that drawer or they discover things under their bed, these pieces of paper are going to be there, and the Lord can use that to speak to them again and to help them remember and to re-inspire them. So I want to do that. The other thing that I found, which I had no idea this would happen, but it was such a God thing. You know, there's those kids that cannot leave a square unmarked, right? Like if they start filling something out, they want everything in that filled out. And they would beg their parents to bring them back to church so that they would not miss getting their passport stamped. Awesome. It was amazing to me. It also made me cry though, because there were some kids whose parents just, you know, they're not coming back on Sunday night. And no matter how much the kids beg them, they're not coming back on Sunday night. And those kids would come to me crying, "My mommy and my daddy won't bring me to church." And it broke my heart for them. So it was like, Lord, give me a way. How can I help them? Or they were sick and they couldn't come. And I used to do two-part stories, especially for people like David Livingston who have so many things in their life. I didn't want to leave anything out. So I do like part one in the morning and part two in the evening. And I stopped doing that for that exact reason, because I'd always leave them at a total cliffhanger. You know, like David Livingston gets attacked by a lion and then I would just stop. You know, come back tonight if you want to find out what happened. And then when they can't come, they're upset. They're begging me for the story, you know, next time they see me. So I stopped doing two-parters for that very reason. But the other thing is, as I've gone to garage sales and conferences, I've built up, I'm going to show you some books later, but I buy doubles, when, you know, as I can, of everything. And then I'll just give them the book to take home and say, you know what, go home and read this. If you really, and they love it. And then kids can borrow them from me anytime. Actually, I just tell them, you just have to tell me one thing about the story. What's your favorite part when you come back? No book reports or anything. I don't want to kill the love of reading. So, but I just want to know that they read it. So kids do come and borrow the books from me sometimes. As far as the books, how I get from a book to actually telling the story is I always read the kids' version first. of a missionary's life if it's available, because what I found is they break it down to really the milestones in that person's life, and they're easy reading, and they, because they're written for kids, it helps me get in a kid's perspective. Like, there are spiritual lessons from Amy Carmichael that we would all go, wow, and the kids, like, they could care less about that, but they do care that Amy Carmichael prayed that her eyes would change color. Right? So this gives you what kids think is important. The other thing I love about these, and these are from YWAM, they're on your resource list, Christian Heroes Then and Now, is that they, as much as they know about the missionary's childhood, they put it in here. And so adult books don't always do that, because as adults, I guess we don't always care. I don't know. We want to get to the meaty stuff or whatever. So these always have the things about the kids' lives in here, or the missionaries' lives as children, and I love that. So I read these for all those reasons. And then as time permits, then I'll get an adult book on them. And I feel like this is giving me the details then. This one's Amy Carmichael by Skoglund. But it's like I already know Amy's story, so now as I read the adult version or the adult biographies, I can, you know, just put more flesh on the skeleton, kind of. And it helps me feel like I know them a little better so that I can explain it better to the kids if I need to. Once I read these, then if they have a missionary story in this other series about the same missionary, I'll read that. And these are Trailblazer books. This is also, this is Bethany House Publishers. The thing that makes these different, these are, okay, fiction is the not true one, right?
Yes.
Okay, still as an adult, I get that mixed up. These are completely fiction in that every book, this one is about David Livingston, it's about the missionary, but it's told through a child's interaction with that missionary. So every book starts, you meet the child in that country, and you find out how they lived and what the dynamics of the culture are, the family are, the child's life, what it's like. And then through some situation in the child's life, they meet the missionary, how the missionary explains God to them and influences their life. And I just find it fascinating. You know, it kind of gives me my geography lesson too, about what the culture is like, where these missionaries went. Just one other thing I want to show you real quick. These are Heroes for Young Readers. This is YWAM as well. And it's very simple text. So this would be for the younger kids. And it's put in poem form, but it's really, really simple, like the bare basics of that missionary story. So for younger kids, I also thought, I haven't done this yet, but I also thought this would be awesome to turn into a reader's theater for the older kids. Mm-hmm. Like I could give them certain stanzas to memorize/read, and then they could present the story as well. I haven't done it yet, but so somebody do that. Tell me how it goes. So I get all this information, and then I write it out. You know, I make myself an outline, you know, childhood, and then how they knew that God wanted them to go, and then some of the adventures, because I really only have 20, 25 minutes with the kids, so I can't tell every adventure. Some of the adventures, and then a little bit, I mean, I'll tell how they died, but that's kind of like, whoop, little ending on it. Before we had all the technology that we have, this is what I used. This was like my only prop on stage. I have a friend who's an artist, and he took the pictures from the back of the book and drew them for me. I know, he's like amazing. In fact, when I was looking for someone to do it, I asked him, and he goes, well, I don't do portraits, but I'll see what I can do. And then he gives me these, and I'm like, you don't know your calling, buddy. So this is what I use now, or what I used then. Now we have PowerPoint in the children's ministry, so, and with the internet, honestly. Now when I do stories, I just highlight in my talk what I want pictures of, and then I give it to my husband, and he pulls up all the pictures and makes a PowerPoint for me. And I love that because we can get real pictures of where they served and what the kids today look like. You know, so that becomes more real to our kids. These kids are alive today. This is what they look like. Here's, you know, here's the house where they worship their God, you know, here's what their idols look like. And a lot of times we can pull up, well, we, my husband does all the work, but we can pull up actual pictures of the missionary depending on how far back I'm going. And then we, I do a PowerPoint presentation, so I'm changing the pictures, you know, as I'm telling the story. But another way to do that, or to have, if you have that capability, this one is about Mary Slessor, and Child Fellowship Evangelism is where I get a lot of this stuff, so they're out there today. If you're interested, you should go see what they have, and they can get you anything they don't have. But they already have the pictures, but here's what else is best. They already have a complete script for you about what every picture means and the story of that missionary. So, again, my husband did this part, so if you know a tech person, he just scanned the pictures into the computer and made a PowerPoint from that. And then I read from the script. I mean, I did a dramatic reading of it, so hopefully it was more exciting. Well, I know it was more exciting than just reading it, but it's already written out, so if you don't have time to read a book, or you feel, you know, more confident hearing somebody else's words in the beginning, that's an easy way to do it as well. And they have quite a few of these to choose from. There's also, for the younger kids, this is Child Evangelism Fellowship as well. It's a flannel graph presentation at a young level for Amy Carmichael. There are also videos. Do you want to start with that? This is Christian History Institute. I have Amy Carmichael and Jim Elliott. They're for the younger kids, but still, it's a great tool to have at your disposal. One thing I want to do whenever I'm ready to present a missionary story, you know what? I'm sorry. Let me just take a look at your handout, because I kind of feel like I'm just talking because I love it so much. I want to make sure I'm giving you everything. Okay. Tip. We did the tips, right? Where, when, and how that you're going to decide that, right? And then we talked about the visuals. Oh, okay. Let me go by this, and then I'll make sure that I get to everything. I do, even though, like when I started those, that was the only visual I had, I like to have something on stage, you know, because I want the kids, I know some of them will watch me, but you know, sometimes I get tired of looking at a speaker too, and you kind of look around, so I want as much up there as I can. So we would just get a map, this is just off the internet, and then I'd get some muslin and use a overhead projector still to enlarge it on the muslin, and then paint it, and I'd have it on PVC pipe frame behind me, so that I could refer to the country for them and to give them, you know, just a visual to look at, to keep in mind what we were doing. So I have that up, and our church is, we're blessed that our church is very, very multicultural, so I can get any kind of costume, well, not any kind, every kind of costume I've ever wanted, I've been able to get from our congregation. I mean, we went to Samoa, so I have that. We went to Mexico, so I have that. But I also have some African outfits, so if I'm doing somebody from Africa, I'll wear one of the African outfits. And then when we bring speakers in, I always ask them to wear, you know, something from the country, a traditional clothing from the country, so that the kids can see that as well. This is what I get for not having my glasses. Pictures, okay, got that. What does that say? What's next? Costumes, got that. Languages, sorry, I don't have my glasses with me. Languages, if I can, I try to find out how to say even just one or two words in the language of the country that we're studying, and that's way easier now, of course, with the internet. I'm also researching a company that I haven't found it yet, but I've heard that I can get worship CDs in the languages of these countries, and I thought, how cool would that be when the kids walk in, that they're hearing praise and worship in the language of the country? So I'm working on that. The airplane thing, what we used to do is we used to actually fly, but we flew like this. So they'd sit down in their seats, and then I'd say, okay, we're ready to take off. And then, you know, we would pretend we're flying, and we'd have a storm and all of that. But I have a friend who actually turns the whole front of her sanctuary into a fuselage, the inside of a fuselage, and they have they have ladies that come by with the trays and serve refreshments during the story, like they're really flying to this other country. I know, how fun is that? My husband said no, but I put it in there because I like it. Okay, passports we talked about, trading cards. Excuse me, yeah.
Is there more than one page?
No, look on the back. That's it. Oh, where's does your stop?
I don't know. I don't think it's the same.
She's giving it to the girl without glasses.
Sorry.
Oh.
It's okay. There's room to write.
Yeah, there I'm sorry. Is, there is I'm supposed just, to be another thing. I'm sorry. Yeah, sorry. It got printed incorrectly.
You. It was just harder to. I was trying to okay. follow along.
Sorry, okay, don't follow notes. Along. Just listen. Sorry. Sorry, you guys.
Sorry, we have a page with your name on it. We can take it.
Yeah, and I'll give you my email address too. Is it on there? It's supposed to be on there. Maybe that's the page that's missing. My email's on there? Okay, good. You can always email me. You guys don't have all that, huh? Sorry. Email me and I'll send you the corrected thing and then come talk to you again. I don't know. Another thing that we did, because I like the kids to have something, is we made up, can you just take one and pass it down? We made up these trading cards, exactly, because kids like to collect things. So all I did was on the back of the book, this is on the back of those books. So we just took a copy of it, and then our graphics department made these trading cards for me. So as they learned about the missionary, then they would get a trading card to take home with them. Then kids that missed want the whole set of trading cards, and so I'd give them the book. As soon as you return the book to me that you read it, you get the card for that missionary. So they love it. I know, it's so much fun. Okay, so my outline that you don't have that I'm following. Okay, I always try to do a project when I teach about the missionaries. Everybody can take one and just pass along, or take five, I don't care. You know, when they hear these stories, they get so excited and they want to do something. They want to respond to what they're hearing. And what I'm afraid will happen is because they're listening to the voice of the Holy Spirit and he's stirring them up. He wants them to do something. They want to do something. And what if they have nothing to do? Then they kind of just say, never mind, right? And so the excitement goes away. Well, you can only get excited with nothing to do for so long before you don't get excited anymore. And I believe the Holy Spirit is speaking to them to do something, and I don't want to quench that. Because if I quench that in this grade level, then what's going to happen when they get to high school and they see something going on, they know it's not right, and they hear the Lord telling them, do something about this, but they're so used to just letting it go that they don't do anything. So I want to keep that obedience to the voice of the Lord going. So we always try to have some kind of project for them to do when we do missionary stories. So some things that we've done, Gospel for Asia came, and they were so gracious. They sent someone to talk to our children's ministry. And one of the things he was sharing with them that made me cry the first time I heard it was that kids that don't know Jesus never have a Christmas. And this was in December. Well, it was in January when he came. So Christmas is fresh on our minds, right? On all our minds. I'm sorry, what time do I have to be done? 2:30? Oh, another hour. I wish, trust me. Is it 2:30 I'm supposed to be done? Oh, okay. So I wanted the kids to respond. They were so loving all of this. And so Gospel for Asia has a program that whenever a pastor graduates from their Bible college, they give him a bike so that he can travel around to the different villages. The bikes were $95 a piece. So I asked my husband, I'm like, honey, I'm going to ask the kids if they want to buy a bike for a pastor. But me of no faith, if we don't make enough, can we chip in and get the bike? He's like, yeah, no problem. So I told the kids what we were doing, and this was January, so they just had Christmas. Didn't tell them how you get the money. I just said, you pray, and if you want to contribute, we're going to try to do this, and explained it all to them. Well, by the end of January, we had enough for 7 bikes. And our ministry was, our children's ministry was maybe 3 of these rooms, the room 3 times the size of this room. And I was so blown away. I couldn't believe it. So David Carroll from Gospel for Asia came back, had come back for something. I asked him if he would come to our children's ministry and accept the gift that the kids had pulled together. So he came, and he was blown away as well. And so he just said, can I ask you guys where the money, where, what did you guys do to get the money? And some of them were like, I gave all my Christmas money for kids who never get a Christmas, or I gave all my allowance, or, you know, I did recyclables, or I did odd jobs. Then this one girl stands up, and she was, I think she was in first or second grade. She wanted to give something towards the bikes, and she asked her mom, and they had no money. Her mom couldn't spare anything for her. So her mom said, you know, I'm sorry, we can't do it, but I need you to go do your chores, so go in the backyard, rake up all the leaves. So the little girl goes out, she rakes up all the leaves, she leaves them in a pile, and she went to get a trash bag. And when she came back, there was a dollar bill on the top of the leaves. And she brought it in and gave it towards the bikes. And I believe with all of my heart, God put that there for that little girl, because she wanted to give so desperately. And what's the difference between finding a coin in a fish's mouth and finding a dollar on a pile of leaves? God did a miracle for that girl. She's going to remember that the rest of her life. It's possible, right? God can do amazing things. We have provided, we usually do cash now. You know, have the kids bring cash in, because it's easier than shipping things to other countries. Shipping is so much. So we call it change for whatever. I mean, I know a lot of people do it now, but it was very innovative back in the day. So like change for Haiti. And the kids would just, and again, me of no faith, the first time we did it, I got my little glass jar out, you know, it was about this big, and I put it on the counter. I'm thinking, I hope it doesn't look pathetic. You know, like, you know, a few dimes in the bottom. I don't know why I don't learn this lesson. And this was during VBS, so it was a two-week thing. By the end of the first week, that was full, along with two other containers full of change. And we went to the coin counter. I took my son, and so he's like, oh, let's cover the total, Mom, you know, so we don't see it till the end. And I'm like, you know, I want to see the money go up. But I said, okay, so we covered it. Those three containers was $1,000. Change adds up, and there's so many lessons in that. Some people could only bring a little, but if we all do a little and we put it together, it makes a big deal. You tell a person about Jesus and they might not listen to you the first time, but somebody else tells them and somebody else tells them, and a soul is born. I mean, there's just so many lessons in that. So we still do the change thing. We bought goats for families in Africa. We have bought medical equipment. We've bought Bibles, or sent the money for all those things. So we do something every year, as I want the kids to be able to respond to that. There's another couple other resources, and then I want to tell you a little bit about some missionaries while we have time. You've probably heard of the Pray for the World for adults. This is the version for kids. You can change the world, and it gives you a synopsis of countries around the world, so that you can just even do one of these every week with your kids, you know, and then pray for that country. There are Karen Hensley. I love this, Henley. I've used this all the time. It's a Bible study on missions. I think there's 11 studies in here or something, and it's 13. And then it talks about what a missionary is, and then it has a lesson on each of the major continents and what the children are like there and what their lives are like and how to write a letter to a missionary. And this is all done for you. It's very easy to follow. We've done that. And then I think these are child evangelism too. Just lots of ideas. The Great Kid Mission, 52 Ways to Teach Missions. So there are tons of resources for you. If you feel like the Lord wants you to do it, just say yes. Yes, Lord, I'm going to do it. And then he will lead you either to my email address or he'll lead you to resources, because thankfully there's so many out there. I want to give you some particulars about missionaries, because one of the things that I think is so important when we're teaching to kids, they need a reason to connect to this missionary. So I try to always find something that's the same that some of the kids can answer yes to. James Frazier, he's just interesting. The culture that Lisu people that he ministered to, the terrain was so up and down that the mountains, you could stand on this mountain and talk to the person on the other mountain, have a conversation, but it would take you 3 days to walk down and walk up. That's how steep it was. I know. Amazing. Huh?
Where was that?
It was somewhere in Asia, but I can't remember the country because I usually write it down in the back, and apparently I didn't.
Nepal, Tibet, maybe?
Yeah, maybe. I don't remember. Lottie Moon, I love her. She was called, I love them all, so I just stopped saying that. She was called to China, and there's a great story behind that, but she didn't know how to talk to the people of China, like, because she was a woman, so she couldn't just go out and talk to people. So she didn't know what to do. So she's sitting in her house one day, and she decided, I'm just going to bake sugar cookies. So she started to bake cookies, and the aroma drew people to her house, and she told them about Jesus. So do any of you love baking? That's all you need to be a missionary. Mary Slessor, another one of my favorites. She had, they're all my favorites. Why do I say that? She served in Africa. She had red hair. And when she was serving in Africa, the tribes to the interior had never seen a white person before. And she would walk to a village and the kids would run away screaming because they thought her head was on fire. But she changed an entire culture. One of the things they believed was that when you had twins, one was from God and one was from Satan. And since you couldn't tell them apart because you had to kill the Satan baby, so you just killed them both. You put them out in the jungle for the animals to eat. And she got the law abolished. She actually made it illegal for twin killing. And that's also how she became a mother, because people knew they would find out that she loved the children, and they'd tell her where the babies were, and then she'd go get them and raise them. And lots of other amazing things. You'll have to read the book. No. Jim Elliot, you probably are more familiar with Jim Elliot, The End of the Spear. I have a special connection to these missionaries because they went to Jesus on the day I was born.
Wow.
I know. And for some reason, I mean, I was reading the story and just felt myself drawn to it. And then when I read about their martyrdom, and it was the same day I was born, I don't know. There's just something like touched. I don't know. I've always felt this special connection to them. Nate Saint was the pilot that he's the one that actually, found them. I had the privilege on my 50th birthday to go hear Nate's son, Steve. He's the one that wrote The End of the Spear, the book. I had the privilege of going to hear him speak in Costa Mesa. And not only was he there, but Minkaye, who was one of the villagers who killed his father, was also there, has since become a Christian.
Was he the one that killed
his
father?
Yeah. They travel the world together.
Yes.
He's his grandfather. He's part of the family now, but he was there. So Steve, his son, they did a book signing, and Minkaye did his thumbprint. So I know, I'm like, I will never get rid of this book. I love it.
Don't loan that one.
Don't loan him out. Oh, I still would. Gladys Aylward, she also went to China. My connection with the kids on this one is, how many of you think you do bad in school? She did so bad in school. She actually got kicked out of missionary training because her grades were bad. They told her, your grades are bad, you'll never learn the language, and you're way too old to go on the mission field. And this was her dream, but she found a way to go over to the mission field. She's amazing.
Man.
David Livingston, he's one of the boys' favorites because he got attacked by a lion and lived, but he did many, many other things. He served in Africa. He loved Africa so much that he would not leave, and he actually died in Africa, and the only way they could identify the body was by the teeth marks on the arm from where the lion had bit him. And the natives loved him. So natives, why'd I say that? Old school. The nationals loved him so much that when they finally found his body, they buried his heart in Africa and sent his body back to England. I know. Amy, let me save her for last. Eric Little, he's a great one to do. He was an Olympian, so every 4 years the kids get the Eric Little story. The great thing is that because they're 4 years older when they hear it, hopefully they get something. Yeah, Chariots of Fire, yeah. But obviously, I mean, what a great story. He gave up something for God because he believed that you shouldn't run on Sunday. And I have to explain to the kids it's not a sin, but, you know, all that. And the race he ran, he didn't even run that race. Did you know that? He hadn't trained for it. He wasn't good at it. And yet he got the gold medal for it. Are you kidding me? He died. Did you know he died in a concentration camp? And while he was in, it was a Japanese concentration camp, and while he was in there, he became like the mayor of the concentration camp because he saw everyone was hopeless and they were turning to violence and all that, so he organized it all. He gave science lessons to the kids in the dirt. He would just draw things, and his lessons were so good that when they got liberated and the kids went to school, it was like they'd taken science their whole lives. They also, they credit him, some of them in the books later in their life, they credited him for how the men that they are today. Wow. Yep. Lilias Trotter, she served in an Arab world when there were no women missionaries in Arab worlds. What a tough job she had. And yet, by God's grace, she was accepted by the men in leadership. And she was able to sit with them and eat with them and tell them about Jesus, which is amazing in itself. But the other thing that's amazing about her, she loved to paint. She was a great watercolorist. And I can't think of the name right now of her mentor. Oh, John Ruskin. And he was the top artist in the world. And he wanted to take her and make her his protege. He saw her work and he wanted to hone that skill. And he told her she could be the most famous artist in the world. But it came to a point where she had to choose art or the call to be a missionary, and she left it all behind and became a missionary, but she still painted. And I have a couple books of reproductions of her watercolors. Just amazing. But what a heart that, it's like, I can see maybe giving up something for Jesus. I mean, hopefully I would do the same thing, but then to keep on doing it and not be bitter. Right? Well, fine, then I'm not going to paint anymore. You know, she continued to paint, and her watercolors are just amazing. Last one, and then I'll let you go. Amy Carmichael, so many wonderful stories about her, but one that the kids love the best is Amy Carmichael was born with brown eyes and she didn't like them. So she believed in Jesus her whole life, and one night before she went to bed, she prayed that Jesus would change her eyes to blue because she knew that would make her life better. Prayed in full faith that her eyes would be turned blue, went to bed, got up in the morning, ran to the mirror to see her blue eyes, and saw her brown eyes. And she was so disappointed, like kid heartbroken. So flash forward lots of years, she's in India, and they kept girls in the temple as slaves. And Amy, because she had brown eyes, and wore the traditional clothing so her hair was covered, she used tea bags to dye her skin a little darker, and because she had brown eyes, she could walk into these temples and no one gave her a second look, and that's how she was able to go rescue these temple girls. Wow. God made her exactly the way he wanted her for the work he had to do. God has made every one of our kids exactly the way he wants them for the work that he has for them to do. They just need to know that they can do it.